Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We're continuing on in this idea. It is something that Ivan Panin saw while going through the whole Bible over the years, that he noticed there was a theme to the book of Matthew. And to understand Mark, the next book, you had to understand a certain amount of Matthew. It's like steps. And then once you got that first step, it's like first, second, and third grade, how you kept adding to, let's say, math. As you'd go along, you'd learn addition and subtraction and multiplication and division. And Mark is the next step. And then Luke is another one, and John is the last step in understanding the four Gospels. And four is a number, like there's four corners of the earth. Now, they were wondering about that, what in the world that meant. But did you know there are four places on our ocean because of this, the motion of the earth, that the ocean's waters have a different elevation than other places that are sucked down? And there's maybe a 200-foot variation, but you think of the volume of the ocean, and that's quite a little bit. So when you do a technical map, it's interesting to see those four places where the ocean is heaped up and where it's dropped down. If that were to change, definitely New York would have some problems, or Miami would definitely have some problems.
So it's like there's mountains, not mountains, but the water itself is a mountain in elevation look.
Definitely different. You know, if you're in the Great Central Valley, the San Joaquin Valley, Sacramento's only 50 feet above sea level. Now, I'm a land surveyor, and so is Pat. And we pay attention to a lot of things that other people walk over and they don't really look at. And there was a series of storms in 1861. Like, we had a really rainy year in California. And oh, by the way, I'm Gilbert from from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And Pat from Port Orchard, Washington.
I apologize. I'm walking right into your house and I'm talking to you like crazy and I'm not introducing myself. Anyway, please join us. We are in the book of Mark. We're changing here and looking at the book of Mark in detail. We've just finished all of Matthew, and what an eye-opener to look at it is just stay in Matthew and walk with Jesus, change your mind, come, repent, and because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand, Jesus is going to open to us his kingdom. And what the laws are, how we please him, and so on. And there's laws of liberty. How do you like a law of liberty? And so on. So he's inviting us into this kingdom, and he says, come and follow me. Anyway, back to this flood in 1861. And when I bought a house in Red Bluff, I'm an engineer, plus I also do hydrology analysis. I'm an engineer and a land surveyor. And I was curious about what would happen in the flood with my house. So when I go look at my house, I go and look in that little picture. Once you see your house, you pull it up, and there's a picture of your house, and then there's a little picture, a window down below it, and you click on that, and it gives you a bunch of options as to what you do. And that's if you go to realtor.com. And it will tell you, it used to tell you the crime rate in your area. They took that off. What? They took that off. They took off your area.
Safety.
You're looking at
your safety.
And you could be, the mafia could be in control of your neighborhood. And now you can't tell that on realtor.com. You're naughty, naughty boys. Anyway, I threw that in. So I scolded him. Did you get that? Anyway, one other thing I like to look at is floodplain. I want to see my house and in a flood, what would the Sacramento River do? Would it be over the top of my roof? Would it be at my door? Would it be two blocks away? I want to know. And because you have to pay flood insurance if you're in the 100-year floodplain. And our house in Albuquerque was even above the 500-year floodplain. Now, are they accurate? I don't know how accurate. Nobody's been here 500 years yet. And obviously, they don't fully know. I believe these things to a degree, having calculated them, having watched them. I used to take my wife out in storms and look and see how, when I worked for Waker, I used to design these dams with weirs and so on, and I go check and see if they worked according to these philosophies that I grew up on, and they did. It was really interesting to see the first dam fill up and then hold in elevation, the next one fill up and hold in elevation in a 25-year storm, and that crazy thing operated. So I was one of these guys that, okay, right, I'll design it and so on, but I want to really see if these guys knew what they were talking about. But I grew up under an engineer that was really good. And so I checked this out, and there was nothing on realtor.com that told me what this place could really do. So I just went and started researching history. And did you know that the great... If you live in the Great Central Valley, turn off your radio right now, because you're not going to want to hear this next thing. But the Great Central Valley turned into two big lakes in 1861. See, I told you not to keep listening if you have a house. I told you. And we air in California, in Fresno and Bakersfield. And here's Red Bluff. It's high and dry. And so I went ahead and bought my house. But here are these two places that a lot of Southern California and Northern California was covered by these two ancient lakes in 1861 because of some horrendous flooding. But anyway, back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We want to be able to know in advance, oh, the earth. We were talking about the four corners of the earth. And we know very little. We keep learning more and more. I noticed geology and so on is changing. And California is a huge lesson in geology. There are things there that you'll find in the Himalayan mountains. California is an amazing place. It goes from Death Valley, which is 200 feet below sea level, but that's not the bottom. That's a bunch of fill dirt that's filled in there. It's actually 2 miles deeper than that 200 feet below the surface of the earth in Death Valley. And then you have the two tallest peaks. You have Mount Whitney and Mount Shasta. They rise 3 miles almost above sea level. And then you've got that big tear at Death Valley. Oh, by the way, under this Great Central Valley called the San Joaquin Valley, in the Great Central Valley, there's a big tear there too, and it's a couple miles deep. So you got 5 miles below sea level on the backside of the Sierra Nevadas. You got 3 miles above sea level at the Sierra Nevadas, and you got 2 miles below sea level in the Great Central Valley. And we didn't know until the satellites started mapping the Earth that there were these four corners of the earth. So the four, we're talking about like the four gospels. And the number four, one is unity. And remember, Greek and Hebrew are alphanumeric languages. Two equals witness.
Oh, yeah. Two is a witness.
Yeah. And three?
It's something that's not easily broken.
Threefold cord, like God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Four?
The number of the earth?
First thing outside of God. First thing outside of God, he creates the earth. Outside of this, the triune God is the earth.
The earth.
Five is the number of the fallen man because he fell in rank. Six, Satan's place. Seven, perfection. Maybe our rank. But when we're resurrected, we're going to be sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. And Jesus, his name, Yesu, is divisible by 111, it's 8 times 111. I believe we'll be a rank of 8. We might have even gone up from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve might have been a 7. Because we passed the test, we might even be, if we're joint heirs with Christ, my best guess, and the Holy Spirit is 9, and he's the King of righteousness, the King of peace, we definitely will not ascend above him, but we might be, he calls
joint,
it
joint.
Joint
is
heirs.
8.
That's my guess.
Yeah,
I don't know what you all think. But anyway, we're here in the book of Mark, and there happen to be 4 Gospels that are the good news that bring us out of this world, but there's going to be a new world that is going to be beyond belief. And this Mark has a signature to it. It has something to it that no other book has. It has an abundance, a proliferation, just this huge amount of the word euthus. No, I didn't say useless. Euthus, E-U-T-H-U-S in the Greek. I spelled it in the English so you could pronounce it. Euthus, which means immediately. And it is found a bunch of times. It's 40-some times over. It's all of a sudden, it's just this big amount. You'll find it, I think we saw it a couple times in Matthew. You'll see it a few times in Mark and or Luke and John. But it's found about, how many pages are in Mark? Look at this. It's found 100, I'm just in my pen, it's 117 to 70, 43 times. It's found on average every page. Every page. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? Now, if you're working in a restaurant, how many people in here have worked in restaurants? Have you done that, Pat? You ever worked in a restaurant?
No.
How about you, Brett?
Yeah.
How about you, Andy?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope.
Let's go back to Brett then.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Brett for a second.
Okay.
When you take an order, you wait a day and you hand it to the cook, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You do it immediately.
And the tables need to be cleared. You can get that tomorrow. And it's the beginning of, you know, maybe you've had one group of people in there. You can clean it tomorrow.
Right. You may not have a job.
Oh.
But.
Because what's the word there?
What's that? Immediate.
Immediate. And somebody wants some water or coffee, what's the word?
Immediately.
You're washing dishes, what's the word?
Get it done.
Spill on the floor, what's the word?
Clean it up. Immediately.
Now.
Now.
And this is the word, immediately. So, what is your status when you're what do you call it, a
server?
A server.
They call them waiters, but when I was working in a restaurant in particular, we were just, the term was server.
Yeah, you're there to please people, serve them, and it could either be a grumpy job or a happy job.
Yeah, I saw both. There were people that, you know, you'd be like, why are you even here? But then, you know, the interesting thing was being a believer, coming to other people as a servant was different too.
So what'd you think about, did you as a servant, what if you came in a grumpy mood that day?
Oh, your guests can tell. I mean, it'll mess with how you conduct yourself that day. Other serving staff, they can see you, and maybe you're irritable towards them, and all of a sudden it goes downhill from there.
So that Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, that works well for servers, right?
Yeah, the joy of the Lord is our strength, yeah.
So in entering into understanding the book of Mark, keep that in mind. And somebody here, I tell you what, on the first page, I see straightway. And when we read it, if we read it in the King James, can we interject instead immediately or straightway or immediately? Just add that. Just say straightway or immediately every time you see it. And what do you say we keep track of that?
I was going to do that either way.
40-something, you'll never see anything like this. So, this, actually, why don't we do that one song, Hinematov Homa Naim? this is a song about how we get together in God's family. So the first book, Matthew, taught us about the kingdom of the heavens. We're to change our mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So here we are, a group of people, 12 people in a house, 12 people. And maybe it's a larger gathering like they had on Passover, but it's just a time we decided to get together. Maybe a bunch of these homes get together, and we get together in a place, and there might be 100 or 200 people. So let's say it's a time like that. And we're all adopted. There's no favorites. No favorites. All equal. Even the weaker members, let's say even the weaker members are necessary. It says that someplace in the Bible. I'll just say that ahead of time. And how are we all going to get along in this without having a power struggle and so on? Jesus did not. We're going to look as we go through this what Jesus' attitude is. And I don't know if we'll see it here or not, but I'm going to ask the question, do we call any man a father? Where are we going to see that it gives us instructions like this? What are we supposed to call each other? And how do we treat each other? Or is there a power structure like we see in a lot of churches today, like that chief pastor parking spot? And the guy that gets to stand on the highest place when you do the services, is that what God has in mind? We're going to think about a lot of things as a family. Here's a family. And how do you think you do well if you got one brother that wants to be the top of the mountain, play king of the hill?
Behold how good and pleasant it is. Da 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 da.
Behold how good and pleasant it is. Da 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 da. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brother to dwell together. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Ye name a tomana ye. Da 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 da. Ye name a tofu manai. Da 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 da. Ye name a tofu manai. Shele kingam yakha. Ye name a tofu manai. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Da 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 da. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Da 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 da. Behold how good and pleasant it is. For brothers to dwell together. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together.
So Andy just looked up in his Smith book that is a tabular form of how we look at all the different Greek words. And he found it. How many times you find it there, Andy?
Euthos is immediately in the book of Mark is found 15 times. Straight away is the next word, and it's found 19 times. Forthwith is in there, and it's found 3 times.
Forthwith.
Forthwith.
That's definitely
and
English.
And a miscellaneous, whatever this means, it's found 3 times. So let's see. 15, 35. About 40 times in that book.
So we're going to try to keep track of this as we go along and see how many times it's on each page and where the great abundance of this word is. I used to do that looking at Jesus' name. And you find with people that are godly, you see Jesus' name a lot. You find out when people are ungodly, it's found very few times. And it's interesting when ungodly people happen to use that name. And it's also interesting the Queen of Sheba used that name. It's interesting, she seemed to be, I wonder if, you know, she came from another country. We don't know exactly. It was maybe she came from the Ethiopian side, maybe the Yemen side. I don't know exactly where Sheba was. And so let's start reading, what do you say, in the message, the gospel as delivered to Mark, and it's according to Mark. But it's God's, it's hot off of God's lips, and it's coming, Mark is the scribe that's delivering it to us. So this is the gospel according to Mark.
A beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Lo, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John came, who was baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. And all of the country of Judea went out unto him and all they of Jerusalem and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and a leather girdle was about his loin, was eating locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not fit to stoop down and unloose. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Now, did he come as, he was next in line to be high priest, but remember what happened, what Jesus thought about those priests, and especially the high priest who conspired to kill Jesus. Here is the next in line to be high priest, and he dies for introducing Jesus. He gives up his life to introduce Jesus to do this. It's the opposite.
What does your translation say in the beginning there? I know what yours, what does this one over here say? Gil's using the same one I'm talking about.
Okay, so here, you talk
about
verse one.
Because Ivan Panin had something interesting to say about this. Go ahead, what's yours say?
Verse one?
Mm-hmm.
Says, the beginning
okay,
of—
Okay, good, those first two words?
Yep.
Okay, Pat, what does yours say to
the beginning.
So it says the beginning. Now, the when you beginning. Say the beginning, it sounds like what?
The beginning.
The beginning.
No, it sounds the, like the there's main. How many of them?
Like there's one beginning.
One beginning.
One.
Well, Panin says, no, this is a beginning because there's four books and there's four different beginning lines. And this just happens to be one of them.
Well, did you know what the Greek says?
What?
Well, it says, you know, like in music, take it from the top. Arche.
Take it from the top.
Take it from the top. You know, like you say in music, from the top.
So if you say this is the beginning, you go, okay, if I'm going to tell the story, I better tell it at Mark. He's not saying it like that. He's saying, this is going to tell you, take it from the top four times.
Now, since you said that, I'm going to go back to Matthew. And Matthew says, Biblos, genesos, Jesu Christo, uya, David, uya, Abraham.
And what's the first word?
The Bible.
Book.
The book.
And this one says, beginning.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never noticed a beginning or the difference in those beginning
words. And he says
words.
Beginning, and then he uses the word, the gospel, beginning gospel. He says book, beginning of this genealogy. This one says beginning gospel. So he's going to be focused here. He's right into the gospel, right, really fast.
And gospel is good message.
Evangelio.
Good
message.
Good angel. Good message.
The good message.
You angle, go on. Oh, that's interesting.
So as we get to the other ones, we'll see how they start. And we won't go to that place now.
but it starts, doesn't start with, well, it again, it starts with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yahweh coming as Savior, but the anointed. It introduces him as the anointed one. Like it did in Matthew, it's the same. And then it goes on and quotes Isaiah the prophet. So these things are free for us to use too. Isaiah is free for us to use to explain these things, isn't it?
Sure.
But what's the first, but where is he going to start? He's going to start with this messenger that came before his
face. There he is, right there.
And does he come, so we're going to look back at him. Does he come as the high priest, or does he come as a servant to introduce? Is his whole function to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight, to be a servant of that one objective? And we're talking about a path, a way. Remember, in Matthew, we talked about the way of righteousness. And now, John the Baptist's main goal is to prepare the way of righteousness, to prepare, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. John the Baptizer is now preparing this way for people to meet Jesus on this way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's the son of a priest. He's a priest, and yet he's out here with this good message of Jesus Christ.
A high priest that's able to go.
Well, he's getting pretty close to God right
really
here.
Really close.
You think? And he has to prepare the way for Jesus. So in saying that, Jesus doesn't prepare his own way. He's sent to prepare the way for Jesus. And he was a voice crying in the wilderness and to make ready the way of the Lord. So the way wasn't ready and the way wasn't prepared, but here he comes with the way prepared for Jesus and making the path straight.
Now, he was, as those born of a woman, we don't know the details on this yet. We didn't learn it in Matthew, did we?
Nope.
So we can't talk about it, but I'll say generally, I will say generally something. He was a very unusual man, better equipped than any of us mortals on this earth. He was above us in one area. He was above us. John the Baptizer was. But he still comes as a servant. He's way better off than any of us.
And he had no affiliation.
Right.
With the temple.
Right.
Zero affiliation with the temple.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.